Welcome to our chapel today. A little over 1,000 years ago, Christianity came to Norway, and the pagan religion of the Vikings was driven out. For some reason, the people that started this college decided to name our mascot the Vikings. So today there will be the unveiling of a new logo, I've been asked to make this announcement. Just a reminder to all students, faculty, and staff, please go to the lobby of the Sports and Fitness Center tomorrow, May 4th, from 10:20 to 2:30 to pick up your free t-shirt for the new Viking athletic logo. So that will be tomorrow. We begin our worship today. We have the confirmation of one of our students, Noella Wigtill, and we begin our worship with the singing of our opening hymn. Our scripture reading for today, which is very fitting for a confirmation, is taken from St. Paul's second letter to young Timothy, the pastor, the third chapter, beginning with verse 14. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. One of the earliest known letters in the early Christian church, way back in ancient times, from the second century, was written by a Christian pastor to a congregation, warning them of the fact that some of the children had already started to fall away from their faith. The spiritual care of children is something that is always on the top of the list for people, on their hearts and minds, not only in families, but also in congregations. I've attended a number of call meetings where a new pastor is to be called, and usually about number one or two is, how do they work with young people? How do they work with children? This is a great concern in the spiritual life of the church. And throughout history, this has often been considered a very delicate work as well. The children of Israel before the time of Christ had names for 8 different stages of childhood that they would categorize, and often had spiritual lessons to be learned during each of those stages of life. We're told that the children of Israel also had special songs, some of them the Psalms, that were sung to children while they were nursing by the mother. Timothy, the one to whom St. Paul writes the letter that we have before us today, Timothy, we know, was taught by his mother and his grandmother. And we're told that this had been taught to him from infancy, from the smallest stage of being a child. The Greek word there is the word for brief, brephos, the smallest stage of being a child. In the New Testament church, around 180 AD, there was a pastor named Clement of Alexandria in Egypt. And he said that parents were already making copies of the Bible that they could use in their homes and going to their pastors to sit and write down copies so they could make sure to have the Word of God present in their homes. So this has been a constant, paramount issue in the minds and hearts of Christians all the way back to the time of Christ and beyond. The faith that is given to a child in baptism, this precious gift that connects them to their Savior, cleansing them of all of their sins, dressing that child in the holy robe of righteousness that Jesus gives us, that precious faith that grabs onto him for forgiveness and the hope of everlasting life, is something that should not then be lost. And the enemies of our faith, the wolves of this world, want to come and tear that robe off of these young children as they grow up. And so today we face even greater challenges, possibly, than other stages in the history of the church. Just give you an example of that. Not too many years ago, when I was a parish pastor, I had a young mother come to me, very proud of her daughter. And she told me that her 9th grade daughter had been in a local school class, not in a Christian school, and the teacher had segregated the students according to their beliefs in one of the classes for a sociology class. And this girl was the only one who professed the Christian faith inside of that class out of about 25 students. And she was singled out. And of course, felt somewhat embarrassed by that. And I thought 20 years prior to that, she probably would have been in the majority. Today, the Christian faith is under such attack in our culture that we're often being singled out and made to feel ashamed and embarrassed for our relationship to Christ. When you talk to grandparents, they will often say to you things like, "Boy, I don't envy young people today having to bring their kids up in this day and age." I've had students on this campus come up to me after classes and say to me, "It almost makes me not want to have kids to think about the challenges that are out there being a Christian parent." So something has been ratcheted up in our society today to attack this faith even more, to tear the white robe of righteousness off of the sheep of Christ. But God has not left us defenseless. God has not left us to throw up our hands in dismay. He's given us something more powerful than any enemy we have, and that is his sacred word, his efficacious an all-powerful word. And that's why St. Paul writes even to this pastor, this young pastor, even he says to him, "You must continue in the things that you have learned, because you know those from whom you have learned them, and how you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." This is how we keep our hold on heaven, is through the Word of God. This is how we continue to sing with the church, "I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home." So to you students today, as future parents, and I do want you to have children, as future parents, there is no greater work than you will ever do in your life than helping to raise your children in the Word of God and to stay in this precious faith of your Savior. And you do that by utilizing the greatest weapon in this spiritual battle, and that is that Holy Scripture is given to us. There's no greater gift you can give to your child someday than passing on the knowledge of Christ. Noella, you have been blessed to grow up in a Christian home where the Word of God was placed before you as a child. And you have now come today to confess and profess that faith publicly here on this campus. And we are here to, in a sense, confirm what God has worked in you and continues to work in you by His Holy Spirit. And may all of us today, as we observe your confirmation, be once again confirmed in our own faith and the trust that we have in this precious Savior, as we look forward to standing together, confessing this Savior in the mansions above. May God bless your confirmation.
When you were a little child, you were received into God's covenant of grace and holy baptism. And now, having learned the meaning of this covenant from your instruction in the Word of God, you are gathered here before God in this Christian assembly publicly to make profession of your faith in the triune God and to confirm your covenant with Him, to dedicate yourself, body and soul, for time and for eternity to your God and Lord. Lift up your heart with me, therefore, to the God of all grace, and cheerfully give answer to what, in the name of the Lord, as a minister of His holy church, I now shall ask you. And Noella, do you this day, in the presence of God and of this Christian assembly, confirm the solemn covenant which at your baptism you made with the triune God? If so, answer, I do. Do you then renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, I do. And do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in God the Son?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
And do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? Do you desire to be a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, answer, I do. Do you hold all the canonical books of the Bible to be the inspired Word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the Bible, as you have learned to know it from Luther's Small Catechism, to be the true and correct one? If so, answer, I do. Do you also, as a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, intend to continue steadfast in the confession of this church and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, I do so intend with the help of God. And finally, do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the rule of the divine word, to be diligent in the use of the means of grace, and to walk as it becomes the gospel of Christ, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to the triune God, even unto death? If so, answer, I do so intend by the grace of God.
Give now your hand at the Lord's altar as a pledge of your promise, and kneeling, receive His blessing. Noella Hope Wigtill, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give thee His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and strength, of sanctification and the fear of God. Revelation 2:10, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who makest us both to will and to do those things which are good and acceptable, we make our humble supplication unto thee for this your servant, Noella. Let thy fatherly hand, we beseech thee, ever be over her. Let thy Holy Spirit ever be with her, and so lead her in the knowledge and obedience of thy word, that in the end she may obtain everlasting life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. The congregation is asked to please rise and join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Are there any pictures or anything? Oh, okay. I was wondering about that.